The following message is from Living Waters Church in Elk River, Minnesota. For more information about us, visit livingwatersmn.org.
I want to open up this morning to Gospel of Matthew, chapter 4. Matthew, chapter 4, verses, we'll probably start in verse 23. Last week, I preached a little bit on the kind of the emphasis that I'm running with in these last days, and it's not so much having an eye on the kingdom that's being shaken as much as having an eye on the kingdom that we're receiving. For me, that's the emphasis that I need to go with. I just want to know, I want to understand, I want to comprehend, I want to perceive, I want to see. I want the kingdom that I am receiving, that we're receiving, to be the thing that we talk about, the thing that we preach, the thing that we teach. I want the kingdom that we're receiving, because we're receiving something that is just as solid and substantial as the chairs you're sitting in fact, more so. You know, the creation, that which is created, cannot have more substance than the Creator. It's just a substance that's in a different realm, it's in a different place, but nevertheless, it is true, it's real. And it is a kingdom that can be received. See, when Jesus talked to his disciples, he sent out the 12. He said, go into these cities and welcome, you know, preach, greet them and say, I'm bringing, you know, peace to you. And it says, if there's a son of peace there, they'll receive your peace. If they don't receive your peace, then take your peace back with you and leave. Peace, the attributes of the kingdom are substance. They are substantial. I tell you, people know when you love them, and people know when you don't love them. People know when you tolerate somebody, and people know when they are loved. Because love, I mean, real love is an attribute of the kingdom, and it carries substance. It carries a weightiness. This kingdom that we're receiving isn't some kind of a la 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 up in the heavens somewhere, and if we're lucky enough, we'll hear about it, or maybe somebody will tell us about us and somehow become the ears that we need to have to hear and to see and to understand the kingdom. But Jesus made a declaration. He said this. He said, unless you're born again, you can't enter into, you can't see, you can't understand, you can't comprehend this kingdom. Nicodemus didn't understand. He says, what are you talking about? I got to enter again into my mother's womb to be born? And Jesus says, no, you're misunderstanding something. There is a kingdom that is spiritual in nature that carries a greater weight and a greater glory than the kingdom that you've been born into. See, and this is the kingdom that we're receiving. How many want to allow this kingdom to be shaken so that we can receive a kingdom that cannot be shaken? See, this is the pursuit that I'm on. This is the pursuit that I'm after. I want to understand. I want to know. I want to see what it's like. And I want to know. I want to see this kingdom, which is a kingdom of power, being manifested in my life. And it is a kingdom of power. I'll tell you, it wasn't some mealy-mouthed, some kind of religious atmosphere that took me out of an adulterous lifestyle, a drug-laden lifestyle, and brought me into a completely different mindset. It wasn't religion that did that. It was the power of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, this good news of the Lord Jesus Christ that got into me and somehow changed everything that I believed. Everything that I once knew. And you talk about being born again. For probably the first 10, 15 years, I felt like I was a kid wet behind the ears. I mean, I was pastoring a church and I still felt like this little kid. Like, how can I do this, you know? And somehow I grew up. I'm trying to become a kid again, to tell you the truth. you know, weights and responsibilities, and you, religion sets in, and you think you got to do this, do that, and the other thing. I just want to be a child. This kingdom can only be received as a child. How many here have adultiitis?
Yeah.
Okay, that's a word now, okay? Adultiitis. It's a disease in the kingdom of God that keeps you from receiving simply by faith this kingdom. Adultiitis, I said it, you spell it, okay? I knew I could get harassed by my wife, but Matthew chapter 24, chapter 4, verse 23. I have loved these verses for a number of years now because these verses challenge me. And Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, healing all kinds of sickness and all kinds of disease among the people. Then his fame went out throughout all Syria, and they brought to him all sick people who were afflicted with various diseases and torments, and those who were demon-possessed, epileptics, and paralytics, and he healed them. Great multitudes followed him from Galilee, from Decapolis, Jerusalem, Judea, and beyond the Jordan. Okay, so this is Jesus just after his baptism. Jesus gets up from baptism, and it says, just back a couple of verses, back in verse 17, it says, he began at that time to preach a gospel and say, repent. How many know that the preaching of the gospel includes a word, repent? How many know there is no receptivity of the gospel unless there is repentance? You know, I don't care what the world thinks about that word, repent. Can I just say that it is part of the gospel of the kingdom? And it starts with, change your mind. Change the way you think. How many know that the Jews were going to have to change everything that they knew presently about approaching God was about to be shifted dramatically? And if they didn't start to see the kingdom from a different dynamic than that they had always seen it, always been taught, always knew how to enter in and how to touch the heart of God, and all of a sudden it's all going to, all the rules are going to change. In fact, all the rules are going to get kicked out. Except for two. Love God and love people. How many know they had to change the way they were thinking? They had to shift their mindsets. They had to come to a different place of understanding as Jesus began to proclaim the gospel, the good news, the glad tidings of what? The kingdom. See, we're not here this morning to preach the good news of how great Living Waters Church is. That's not what we're here for. We're not here to talk about how great everything is in the city of Elk River, how amazing the state of Minnesota is, and what everything, all those things are good. And yes, we do have some awesome things happening here. You guys are awesome. You know, Bob's awesome. I'm trying to be awesome, you know. But that's not it. We are preaching the good news of a kingdom. And this kingdom has a king. This kingdom isn't kingless. It's not leaderlessness. This king paved the way. He went before everybody else. He died so that we could live, so that we could die. And in dying, we live. Go figure. The language of this kingdom is a little bit different, but it's true. If you can receive it in your spirit, man. So this kingdom that we're receiving is a kingdom with a king, with a good king. You want to know what the kingdom of God is like? Look at Jesus. The kingdom of God, when we're preaching, when we're teaching, when we're living the gospel, the good news of the kingdom, I'll tell you what, when we come in confrontation with devils, they have to flee. Sicknesses have to flee. When we come in contact, when we are carrying this gospel, when we're carrying this good news, people who are laden down with sins and bondages, who are trapped in the stuff of life, that has to be broken. Look at the fruit of Jesus' ministry. It says that people, his fame spread throughout the earth, out through the known land at that time. From Syria, Decapolis. See, what's happening here, and I did a bit of a study, kind of a fun study. Have you ever thought about the influence that Jesus had? Some people say, well, he never got more than 75 miles from his home, and other people, yeah, and that's just not true. Instead of quoting it from memory, ask Susie about my memory. This is Arthur Blessed. You know who Arthur Blessed is? He's the guy that walked with the cross all over the world. He's walked like 41,000 miles with that cross. And what he did was he took and he clocked by scripture all of the miles that Jesus walked. And the range of his walking was from down in Egypt all the way up into Sidon. And that's about 436 miles. That Jesus walked a recordable 21,000 miles in his ministry. Now, that doesn't include the places that he went into all their villages and cities that aren't recordable. I believe that Jesus walked around the circumference of the earth. I believe Jesus walked probably 24, 25, 26. Who knows how many miles Jesus walked? Listen to this. First, he walked for about 400 miles when he walked from Egypt to Nazareth. He walked about 18,000 miles from Nazareth to Jerusalem by the time he was 30. And now that's some assuming that he made the feasts, which were required of Jewish young men. And we know that Jesus went to the feasts. Three times a year, he had to go from Nazareth down to Jerusalem. That was about a 240-mile round trip, the way they had to walk in those days. So this wasn't a little deal, was it, when they decided, well, let's go down to Jerusalem for the feast. I mean, they're talking, you know, 5-6 days down and 5 or 6, you know, 3 or 4 days there, however, whatever feast it was, and then 5 or 6 days back. During his ministry, his 3.5-year public ministry, he walked 3,125 miles, recordable. That's what you can record. Grand total of miles that Jesus walked on his trips was 21,525 miles. And again, that's not including the stuff that we can't record. So on an average of 20 miles a day on his journeys meant that Jesus spent at least 1,076 days and nights on the road in his life. This is a total of 2 years, 300, call it 3 years, on the road in his life. All these miles he walked by the age of 33. Now, why is that significant? To me, it's significant because I can see why the gospel had such an effect and how it had such a widespread effect in those days. See, if Jesus was walking, we tend to think that Jesus just went to church and then he'd have a revival or somehow the word would get out and he'd have revivals here and there and everything. Here's what I've come to see. I believe Jesus was just doing life. He was just walking. I believe when he would gather crowds, because when he'd go from Nazareth to Jerusalem for a feast, he didn't go alone. People would walk in caravans going down, and they'd have to go through Decapolis, the other side of the Jordan River. And the caravans would follow. And as Jesus is just doing life, these miracles, he's demonstrated in the gospel of the kingdom. And the gospel is becoming widespread just as he's doing life. Can you see? How about you? How about me? How about the few years that we have on the face of the planet? Who have we impacted Now, we don't walk, and we don't walk in caravans. In fact, a lot of our time is spent in our cars by ourselves, you know. Life has changed a little bit. But for me, this is significant that the reason Jesus had fame from Tyre and Sidon down through Nazareth and down through Decapolis and the other side of the Jordan and down into Jerusalem is because that was the route that he walked so often. It was a regular thing for him to walk. He did around the Sea of Galilee. All of his, I don't know when the guy slept. Think of it, 3,200 miles. If you think of it, 3,200 miles in three and a half years, let's call it 1,200 miles a year. You know, figuring that he did some other things. Okay, that's like walking from here to the Black Hills of South Dakota once a year. There and back. Not a big deal, you say, except that he was always ministering on the way. He was preaching and teaching in synagogues on the way. He was preaching at the Sermon on the Mount on the way. Jesus was finding places out in the desert where nobody was. And all of a sudden there'd be crowds gathered to him along the way. The gospel of the kingdom that the people were hearing, we heard it from Judy. God has created us to have something yearning deep inside. And when that itch gets scratched, we know it. People were hearing for the first time this gospel of the kingdom. They had heard all sorts of religion. They had heard all sorts of ritual and form and the stuff that they grew up with, that they loved, that they cherished. But they had never heard the gospel of the kingdom. The reason I love this particular scripture is because it challenges me. It challenges me is what is the gospel that I'm preaching? How much of the gospel that I'm preaching, that you're preaching, that the American church is preaching, how much of the gospel that we know is the gospel of the kingdom? And how much of the gospel that we're preaching is the gospel of our culture? The American culture, the church culture. See, we're all affected by culture. You and I, we each have we all have different life experiences that have shaped the way we think, the way we perceive, the way we understand. From the time we were in our mother's womb till now. And the reason I love this scripture is it tells me that there is a gospel of the kingdom that can be preached and taught and demonstrated. Amen. That is totally free of our culture. Mm-hmm. How many want to pursue that kind of a gospel? How many know that we've got a ways to go? So when I read this scripture, I get challenged. That gospel will have the same fruit that Jesus had. The preaching of that gospel is the preaching of a gospel of power. The Apostle Paul says it in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 1 through whatever. He says, I didn't come to you with persuasive words, trying to win an argument. How many have you seen people preaching the gospel like they want to win an argument? Paul says, I didn't even stoop to that. I have no confidence in my ability to win an argument when it comes to preaching the gospel of the kingdom. I have some understanding. I have some deep thoughts. I have theological stuff in me that is so deep and unmovable, unshakable. But I'll tell you what, to try to convince somebody that I'm right and that they just better turn or they're going to burn, or that they're wrong, their lifestyle's wrong, and my lifestyle's right, my church is better than your church. See, How much of what we try to do is trying to win an argument? Paul says, I didn't try to win an argument with when I came to you guys. I didn't come to you with words of man's wisdom. He said, but the gospel that I preached to you was in the demonstration of power of the Holy Spirit. See, when I talk about this gospel, this kingdom that we're receiving, it's a kingdom of power. Now, it may not be a kingdom that will ever be popular in this realm. It may not be a kingdom that is ever going to have kudos in this realm. In fact, I believe when we hit this realm, there's probably going to be conflict. One of the great, exceedingly great and precious promises of God. How many would like to quote the precious promises of God over your life? I do too. And here's the one that I'm not so quick to quote. In this world, you will have tribulation. That's an exceedingly great and precious promise of God. In this world, you will have resistance to what you know to be true inside. But be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. Be of good cheer. That resistance that you're feeling, that's just to make you stronger. How many know if you didn't ever have resistance? This weekend, I got stuck. My pickup truck in a field. My plow on the front end. And when a plow gets hung up, it's not like your pickup's just hung up. Now, you're stuck. I had to drop the plow. Anyways, in all this, I'll just say that my muscles are feeling some effects of the resistance that I was putting on that plow that weighs about 700-800 pounds. And don't worry, I had Steve to help me, so, you know. No, you know, but there is this resistance that when you're preaching the gospel of the kingdom, there will be resistance to it. But be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. So Jesus, his fame goes throughout all the earth. The thing with this kingdom, with this gospel of this kingdom, is that it's a hidden kingdom. It's a kingdom of the heart. It's a kingdom of the inner man. See, that's why Jesus, you want to do something really fun? Follow this chapter in Matthew. Chapter 4 is followed by chapter 5, right? Followed by 6 and 7, which is the Beatitudes. The Beatitudes really is Jesus, the first recorded time that Jesus started to make proclamations of what this kingdom looks like. And he starts to address some things. He says, hey, you know, murder, it begins in the heart. If you hate your brother without a cause, then you've already committed murder. How many murderers are here? Don't raise your hand. Don't. Hopefully you've been redeemed from that. Adultery isn't when you've slept with somebody. It's when you've looked with lust in your eyes upon a man, upon a woman, upon somebody, upon a car. You know, that lust in your eyes, it's an adulterous heart. It's something that is committing adultery against, first and foremost, our God. But then against our spouses, our partners. And that doesn't happen when once you've committed the crime. That happens when your heart is going after it. See, when Jesus started to talk about the kingdom of the inner man, the kingdom of the hidden man, he was striking pretty deep. Anybody squirming in your chair right now? You should be. I'm trying my darndest. I'm really not. Really, this is just reality. This is reality of the kingdom. It checks the innermost parts of our heart. But be of good cheer. Jesus came to overcome even the darkness in our hearts. So this kingdom, and after it scratched the itch that everybody was looking for, because at the end of it they said, what did that guy just say? I don't quite understand it, but all I know this is he talks like somebody who has some authority. He didn't didn't talk like the scribes and the Pharisees who just knew how to parrot everything that they had been taught. Say everything, you know, we know all the laws, we've got all the prayers down pat, we've got the perfect prayer, we don't need to change it, and we can keep saying the prayer, and rah, yah, rah, yah, rah. He says, this guy, he speaks like he's got authority. He speaks like he knows what he's talking about. This guy speaks in a way that pulls on my inner man. The gospel of America will never do that. The gospel of Dave Weigel will never do that. The gospel of Living Waters Church will never do that. The gospel of the kingdom is meant to pull at the inner man. You know the problem with that? Is there are some people who, for whatever reason, aren't paying attention to that itch. And to them, the gospel of the kingdom sounds foolish. To them, the gospel of the kingdom makes no sense. I can't see it, taste it, touch it, feel it. I'm not going to believe it. And then they call you just kind of, you're ignorant. How many have seen a spirit that's in our age that is designed to make you feel foolish for confessing that we trust in Jesus for our sin? Have you recognized that spirit? Maybe you haven't. I have. It's there and it wants to say, oh, sin, come on, it's just humankind. It's just, it's not sin. It's just what people do. It's no big deal. Come on. We don't call sin sin. We don't want to offend anybody. I mean, why do you want to do that? We don't want to call sin the bondage. In fact, we don't want to call demon-possessed people demon-possessed people. I know this is, this might sound harsh to you, but if Jesus confronted in a religious society in Israel, and he was confronting demon-possessed people, why do we think that we don't have demon-possessed people in America? Why do we think we don't have demon-possessed people in the church? And I could go. I won't. It says that there were epileptics. You look at that word epileptics in the Greek, and it really means they were moonstruck. They're lunatics. They're people who had mental disorders. And they were lunatic. They were outside of their mind. And Jesus healed them. Paralytics. People who couldn't get up off of a cart, couldn't get up off of a bed. And Jesus healed them. I tell you, beloved, I want to know this gospel. I want to see this gospel in my day. I want you, I want me to walk in this gospel. Foolishness to the world, I tell you, that's just an area we got to die. Because it's a reality. That itch has been scratched in you and in me, right? Jesus, I love the Gospel of Matthew. The Gospel of Matthew mainly focuses on the kingdom. In just chapter 13 alone, there are at least six parables that Jesus, probably eight parables that Jesus told about the kingdom of heaven is like. This is what the kingdom of heaven is like. The kingdom of God is like. And it was like a pearl that a merchant found. And this pearl was just so precious. It just caught everything in him. That everything he had, he sold so he could possess that pearl. There was such an itch in that merchant that when he saw that pearl, he knew there was only one way to get it scratched. That was to sell all he had so that he could have the kingdom, I mean the pearl. You know what I'm saying? The kingdom of heaven, it's like a woman who took a measure of yeast and she put it in a loaf. And next thing you know, the whole loaf is yeasted. The whole loaf has yeast. I'm not a baker or anything, but there's some ladies here who tell me that when yeast leavens the whole loaf grows, doesn't it? That's what the kingdom of heaven is like. When the kingdom of heaven is in you, it's like the smallest seed. It's like a mustard seed, Jesus said. It's just like this little tiniest. It's the smallest of seeds. You can't hardly see it unless you're looking for it. But once that is implanted in you, it grows. And it becomes a tree. It becomes this massive tree that even the birds of the air can nest. There is growing in you. See, when it talks about the seed that has been planted in you, there is a reality to being born again. There's a place in, I think it's Philippians, where it talks about the seed that has been planted in you. And it's a word that can be translated the sperm of God. Do you know that there has been a spiritual sperm of God planted in the womb of your spirit? This is the gospel of the kingdom, guys. This is the truth of the kingdom. This is what Jesus did this for. This was the only way that this could happen. And it's this gospel that is growing in you. It's this gospel that's growing in me. And I'll tell you, the gospel was never meant just for self-preservation. The gospel, this seed that's planted in you, is to become a big tree that is so welcoming, that so draws people into that seed, into the protection of the plant. Luke chapter 17, verse 20 and 21 says this about you and me. It says the gospel, or this kingdom, doesn't come by observation. Neither do they say, look over here, look over there, look at Living Waters, look at the crossing, look at. But Jesus says this, he says, the kingdom is within you. We have the kingdom within. Challenges getting the kingdom out. When you understand this kingdom, you'll welcome the shaking of this world that's been affecting my life to be shaken off of me so that I can receive the kingdom. Funny thing about this kingdom is it is power. It is a kingdom of power, but this kingdom will not live an adulterous life. It will not cohabit with another kingdom that's inside. In fact, when you have a cohabitation kingdom, it's called being double-minded. And it's confusing, guys. It just messes you up. The kingdom's within. It's a kingdom of power. It's a kingdom. Romans chapter 14 says the kingdom of God isn't meat and drink. You know, the argument was, well, you know, there's one person that observes feasts and observes days, and then there's others that don't. And which of us is more holy? Do I observe the Sabbath? Do I observe the Passover? Do I observe, and that makes me more spiritual, or do I not? And that was the argument that was going on in Romans chapter 14, and Paul says, hey, no, you got it all wrong here. The kingdom of God doesn't hinge on that stuff. This is the kingdom of God. It's righteousness. What produces righteousness in you? It's peace. What produces peace in you? It's joy in the Holy Spirit. If you're still trying to walk this walk by keeping rules and regulations and laws, then you're missing the point of Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection. I believe the fruit of having Christ in you, the hope of glory, is that you will walk in righteousness. You will walk in holiness. And when you're not, when we blow it, anybody here blown it in the last 15 minutes? You know, when we do blow it, we have an advocate with a Father, Jesus. But we don't exist in this realm of sin. Why? Because it is so darn disagreeable to the kingdom that's within. Because the kingdom of God is righteousness. It's holiness. It's purity. It's peace. It's that striving that we gotta achieve, that we gotta do, that we gotta be, is just put to death. And hilarious joy. I'm still on a bit of a quest to figure out what it means when Jesus said we can have fullness of joy. What does that look like? Am I the only one that thinks like this? You know, I'm willing to admit, here's what I want to do. I want to give freedom for the gospel to be the gospel. I don't care how high the bar is set. But I also want to give myself liberty to know that I'm in pursuit of something. I haven't arrived. This gospel of the kingdom is gospel of righteousness, peace, joy in the Holy Spirit. Every good fruit is what this gospel looks like. It's what it produces. If you have Holy Spirit in you by the grace, by the through the shed blood, the resurrected life of Christ, you've got the Christ in you, then there's fruit being produced in your life, isn't there? You know what's a bummer about an apple tree that has a lot of fruit? It's when I see the fruit dying on the vine. Does that bother you guys? I risked my life this fall to climb up that tree out there for my daughter because there was apples on there. And doggone, it looked like they were going to go to waste. And so I risked my life on this ladder that was leaning against these branches and, Daddy, what are you doing? You know, all that stuff. Because I hate seeing fruit just drying up on a tree or on a vine. Can I encourage you with the fruit that is in you? Your fruit is meant to be eaten by people who are hungry. The fruit that you're growing in your life, in this tree, in this garden, however you want to put it, there's so many parallels that run. It's meant for people who are hungry to be filled. Who wants to give their fruit away? The last thing I'm going to talk about, we've already touched on you. I wasn't going to preach this because this is really a message that I tell you, I could spend days on. Days. And I was really afraid that, you know, one of my biggest challenges isn't not knowing what to say, it's knowing what not to say. But the last part of this message, when we're talking about receiving this kingdom that cannot be shaken, it's a real kingdom. It's a substantial kingdom. It's a kingdom that produces good fruit. But here's the deal. God allowed me to pare this down so you're not sitting here for 4 days. That's good news in and of itself, right? That's the gospel of the kingdom. But here it is. except you become like a little child, you can't receive this kingdom. You know, that's just work trying to become like a little child, isn't it? I mean, it's mental gymnastics, stuff that goes on in your head that you think that, well, now I'm mature, now I got to be this and that and the other thing, and there's some truth to all that stuff, but it's the receiving of this kingdom is like a little child. It's done in simplicity. At the beginning of the year, the Lord gave me a word that he was going to teach us simplicity in faith, simplicity in love, and simplicity in works, those three things. I don't know about you, but God's sure been teaching me some things about that stuff, and from time to time I've been able to preach it and try to go there, but really this thing of simplicity of faith is just believing. It's just believing on the Lord Jesus Christ. It's believing what we celebrated today is so true. I've never seen an apple tree that strains to grow fruit. There's a simplicity with which we receive the gospel of this kingdom. And there's a simplicity with which we release it. This gospel, this kingdom is released, it's activated, it's initiated by the heart of God, but it's released on this realm by faith, simply believing. I simply believe that what the scripture said that we just read about Jesus. Actually, there's one more scripture I want to read. The scripture that we just read about Jesus, I believe that was making a proclamation of this is what the gospel of the kingdom, this is what the preaching of the gospel of the kingdom will do. It's going to confront sickness. It's going to confront disease. It's going to confront demons. It's going to confront everything of this world that the ruler of this world seems to have inflicted on people. And I tell you, that is not too strong of a word when you understand the scriptures. Sin, sickness, and disease is something that has been inflicted upon people. Now, we happily receive the infliction, right? Many times we do. I'd encourage you, take a walk through the scriptures, chapter 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. I want to finish with this verse. What you'll find is throughout those verses, throughout those chapters, you're going to find what Jesus did in the space of what I believe to be 2, maybe 3 days. You know, that you'll see daughters raised from the dead. You'll see paralytics healed. You'll see blind people seeing. You'll see mute people speaking. You'll see demons being cast out. You'll see Jesus preaching the gospel of the kingdom with all of this fruit following. And then it comes down to verse 35. And here it is again. It reiterates what we just read in chapter 4. Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion for them, because they were weary and scattered, like sheep having no shepherd. What do you see when you leave this place? What do you see? When you see somebody who's taken up with adultery, when you see somebody who's taken up with alcoholism, when you see somebody who's taken up with porn addiction, when you see somebody who's taken up with every sin that you can imagine, what do you see? Are you seeing a bunch of rotten, filthy sinners who are just bent against the gospel of the kingdom? Paul says this. He says, it's the love of Christ that compels me. It's the love of Christ that absolutely shoots me out of the cannon and causes me to suffer shipwrecks and beatings and everything else, rejection from my countrymen. It's the love of Christ that compels me. With Jesus, he was moved with compassion. What that is it's a yearning, it's a churning in your bowels, the deepest part of who you are. I believe it's where your spirit man resides. When you're moved to that place and you understand that we have a gospel of the kingdom that is powerful enough to do something about it. When we start to see the stuff of this life inflicting people, the righteousness of Christ has got to rise up in us. Susie's on a quest with Running for Justice. And it's talking about human trafficking, but I'll tell you, the injustice of what the enemy has done to people. It says in Acts 10:38, it says that Jesus was a man attested of by God who went about all, wherever he went, doing good works and destroying the works of the enemy. How many want to destroy the works of the enemy? Let's stand together. What I would like is for us as a body just to put out our hands and receive something this morning. And here's what I want us to receive. I want us to receive the compassion of Christ. I want us to receive this love that would so compel us. I want the compassion of Christ to confront the fears of our hearts, the lethargy, whatever it is, but that we could have the compassion of Christ. Father, we want to thank you for the gospel of the kingdom. It is a vast and it is an amazing kingdom. Holy Spirit, would you move on us as a people to have compassion for those who are being inflicted, subjugated, taken captive by the God of this world, by the kingdom of this world? Would you set us free? God, allow the shaking of this kingdom to come in our lives so that we can receive a kingdom that cannot be shaken. Holy Spirit, do the things that you're so good at doing. I pray your blessing on every man, woman, and child here, God, today. I pray your anointing. I pray your favor, God, in increased measures. Father, I pray fruitfulness upon us, spiritual fruitfulness, God, that can be distributed freely to the hungry, to the dying. Father, would you just move on us, God, with your pleasure. Help us to see people the way you see people. Come, Holy Spirit, take up residence on the throne of our hearts. God, we thank you for doing it. In Jesus' name, amen.